You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm Peanut Tillman. This is Roman Harper, and this is the NFL Player Second X podcast. And what's up, man? You good?
What's up, man? I'm doing good. I'm just not used to you just using my normal government name, so I appreciate it. Anytime you
do, I like
to
keep you on your toes.
Yeah. I'm waiting on some kind of joke, some kind of drum roll, and then when he doesn't do it, I'm like, oh, okay, it was just gonna be normal today. All right, good. All right, well, look. Anyways, I want to tell all of our followers and listeners to please. Anywhere you listen to podcasts or you pick them up, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, give us a follow, click a hit like, give us a review, 5-star rating. I'm not asking, I'm telling you. And also tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Come check us out. This is what we do. We bring in some of the best, and they're all about the second act and what they're doing. Former players doing amazing things in their lives, pouring into others.
Yeah.
And tell us who our guest is today, Pino.
An oldie but a goodie. This guy was in my draft class. Drafted in 2003 in the sixth round. Played 7 years in the league as a receiver and a special teamer. 2005 was the first team all pro, and he made the Pro Bowl on special teams. So that shows how good he was. Mm-hmm. Won Super Bowl with the Giants, Super Bowl 42. And he had probably one of the arguably the biggest plays in that game, and it was one of the NFL's best plays in NFL history.
I think playing for New York had a lot to do with that too. I'm not just throwing that out there.
It might have. He's a husband. He's got 7 kids. Successful businessman, author, motivational speaker. You can go on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome David Tyree. Welcome to the show.
Man, made me feel like somebody today.
Jersey in the building.
Jersey is here.
Represent.
We in the building, man. What's good, gentlemen?
Oh, man. He got the Jersey accent, the voice. Like, it's all that, man.
All that energy, man. Yeah,
He reminds me of my cousin from the East Coast, dog. It's just like, they just have a different talk.
They got a good vibe with them, though. Yeah. I like the vibe that you guys have.
It's all good.
Oh, man, it's good to be sitting down with y'all, man. Good to chop it up.
Yeah. So, we're just going to get right into this thing. It's been a while. Super Bowl 42.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it. Let's talk about that catch, man. Like, what was running through your mind? You know, Eli, he comes out, rolls out the pocket, looking, avoids the sack, comes up and just chunks it down the field.
Yeah.
And who does he see? He sees you.
Yeah. Did he really see him, though?
He saw you. He saw you.
He watched the tape.
He saw you.
Did he really see you?
Oh,
you
he thought probably would have thrown it if he knew it was me. Nah. You know what? It's ball, right?
It's
really ball. It takes you back to, like, the, you know, little park, whatever, when you just playing kill a man or whatever, you know, however your little childhood ball, that's what it comes down to, is just make a play. So for me, those opportunities come far and few. You know, like I was one of these receivers where I knew I had more to offer than just special teams,
right?
But also knew my role, and I relished my role. So having the opportunity to be in position to make the play, that was definitely like a defining moment of validation for somebody like me.
Yeah.
I was never been like, it's like, yeah, you know, I had years where I was a third wide receiver, fourth wide receiver, barely made the team. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was a moment of validation. It was a moment where I felt like everybody in light of the moment played above the X and O's, and we got it done.
I'm assuming you won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
You had this amazing game, great catch over, you could say, a great defensive player at the time,
an all pro
safety. And that's your last game. Like, how does that feel?
Yeah, you know, obviously, I had the 2 year. It was like, I never really even told the full story. It's like there was no glory to the ending. Meaning, like, I'm in the height of opportunity. Never had these kinds of opportunities before.
Yeah.
And maybe about a month after the Super Bowl, I'm sitting down. I go pick up my lotion. I'm already back in the gym. I'm already trying to, make the necessary decisions to build some momentum. And my knee locks up. You know, it wasn't an on-field injury. It was just this, man, wear and tear, the beginning of the wear and tear and decline. Mm-hmm. And that kind of launched the decline of my career. So I think for me, when I look back at it soberly, in five seasons, I had accomplished most of which I never could have even imagined. I wasn't on the radar going into the draft. I didn't go to a All-Star game. I was not on the radar. So to be drafted or just to have the opportunity was something where all I wanted was an opportunity. But to have 5 years in, Giants Rookie of the Year, NFL Special Teams Rookie of the Year, All Pro, I couldn't have a real complaint. Yeah. So, it's nothing that you look forward to when you talk about the decline and all these things that are out your control. But in relation to what was accomplished in that body of work 5 to 7 years, I was super proud.
Now, I was listening to you your podcast with your wife.
Yeah.
Say her name again. I don't want
Lee Isla.
I have it written down and
it's
I still.
It's a doozy.
Yeah, I'm very don't nervous worry. To like try. Thank you. Lee Isla.
Don't worry. Jacked it up the first time I called her.
Okay, good. I'm glad you understand. So I appreciate that. Shout out to Lee Isla.
Yep.
And so you were talking about one time the helmet catch. It was, you termed it as a promise from God.
Yeah.
And you talked about at that moment, your faith was probably more valuable than your ability at that time on the field, at least in other people's term.
Sure.
But you continue to stick through it. And now coming full circle with that moment and then writing the book, More Than Just a Catch, and asking Rodney Harrison, the guy that was connected with you forever in this play.
Correct.
Because he didn't make the play and you made the play, no matter what his opinion is on it. To ask him to write the foreword for you in that book, how did that come about? How did that conversation kind of go?
Yeah. Because
it was shortly afterwards. I mean, I heard Rodney Harrison talk about he was still in his feelings. He was still very much hurt, really mad and emotional about this whole thing. And he was like, "Not, bro, that was really luck.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, there was no skill involved. You were just a couple inches from not even making the play. We wouldn't even know who you are."
The shade was serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to let the people know the shade was real. He was not in a good place. Yes.
And so it wasn't from me. I didn't have a relationship with Rodney. It was actually, the woman who helped me co-write the book had a relationship with, I believe, one of his spiritual connections.
Oh, nice.
And Rodney's a Christian. And like, listen, this... It gets like, even in when you go into the faith realm and sports and people's idea around it, gets all muddy. And I never said that God, had ordained the Giants to win.
Right.
I do believe that God involves himself in the affairs of men.
Yes.
I believe he has his way and his will in the world, but not in this perfect...
Right. One where he's plus like two picking winners three. And losers.
Yeah,
I get it.
And I think it could be misconstrued. It's after the fact now. So I think we can say after the fact, we can say that. But before the fact, and I think maybe there was some misconstrued. But listen, he's a competitor. He's one of the most fiercest competitors at the end of the day. I like stepping away from it, I can understand where he was at.
Yeah.
But luck, you know what? It's all about how you perceive luck. For me, there was words the night before. There was words at the beginning of season, prophetic, however you want to call them, that were God sees your desire as a special teams player. The platform you have right now isn't big enough. He's going to make your name great as a wide receiver. Somebody shares that with me in September.
Yeah.
I'm actually injured. I got a fractured scaphoid.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to happen because I'm barely making the team. So when you think about those moments, luck, it's like, dang, you gonna do me like that, dog? This is my one moment, dog. You gonna get a yellow jacket, dog. Let me get my moment. But it was all good. It's all good.
Go ahead.
I totally completely understand the competitive side of any person who wants to be on the side of a loss and a loss that is a defining. When I hear his side of it, Junior Seau on that team, man. So I totally get it, and I'm fortunate that
Also say too to add on to, and not just piggyback, but Roddy was coming, I believe, when I listened to what he said, that he was coming from this place where, you know what, God doesn't involve himself with like, okay, well, oh, I'm for you more, I'm for you guys with the Giants today more than I am for the guys of faith than the Patriots are today. And it's like, well, actually, I don't know if that's true. And so that's where I think the words and everything got misconstrued.
How
not
long
between
after
you two men.
Is this,
but
how long after is this podcast, this interview? Was this like right after? Was this like?
This is like the book when it came out the next year.
Yeah,
so like she reached out,
so
they made
still
the connections.
It's still pretty fresh.
It's raw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bro, it's open
like
wounds.
That off season. It was like that
it's
off season.
I he was still hurt. He just wasn't.
He was. He said that he actually said that his wife sent him to a dungeon, which she called the dungeons, for like 2 months because he just was not a good person. So, as a matter of fact, you go back over there until you're ready to come out with a better attitude.
The question I'd like to ask Rodney now, though, is how do you feel now about that play? Like, if his mind would change,
in my honest opinion, just being a competitor, he's probably still gonna say it was luck. And he probably, you know.
But you know what? I don't even disagree anymore. I used to kind of like, I know that it's shade in some way because you could say it in a way where there's respect because like there's tons of plays that you might not be able to duplicate. I can't duplicate that.
Right.
Like we talk about the circumstance. Eli Manning escaped three Patriot. Come on, man. We know what early Eli was like.
Yeah.
Early Eli, you could blow the wind and Eli would fall on the ground.
No, he would definitely.
Like
He was not an escape artist. He was not an escape artist.
There was a whole lot of sovereign situation going on is what all I'm saying. And I think, I'm a dude. I had a 31.5-inch vert coming out. It's like, so it was a lot of different things that came together miraculously. Luck is one of these things where you try to marginalize and minimize somebody's accomplishments in a moment. And I think that's the kind of, because I could call it luck now knowing that I can't do it again, but knowing the true circumstances,
right?
Nah. Let's just. It was a providence. The word I like to use as a spiritual man, you want to call it, is providence, man. Some things are just appointed for you in life,
for sure.
And I think that based on the journey, there's a moment for everybody. There's a moment of victory, but there's also a moment of defeat. Mm-hmm. A month later, I'm on my journey out.
Now, if you could trade that catch in for a longer career, would you do that?
No. Without a shot. Like, so when I think about these words that are kind of like were kind of coming out of nowhere within that year, when I get a chance to tell my story, I wasn't raised in the faith or in the church or things of this nature. So I get a radical experience after my rookie year, arrested, blah, blah, blah. But in college, I'll never forget, I make the dumbest play in a sport and I hit the punter, right? You know, new set of downs.
That's
some media dude is.
I was wondering if you were saying the dumbest play. I'm like, it can't be that bad. I'm like, oh, yeah,
that's the one. Right? So some media dude is ripping into me about it. And I'm like, listen, man, I'm not trying to, you know, when I play the game, I'm not just trying to be a guy. I'm not just trying to be out there. I want to do something great. And I said, I want to be remembered. So literally in the article in college, I'll never forget it. It says, Tyree wants to be remembered. That's why the helmet catch means so much to me, because I wanted to do something that was a meaningful contribution. And in my own mind, in the way in which I came in as a special teams player, I relished the role. I never imagined I could get paid to play football.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was my son being born in college that actually gave me a dream or a vision for the NFL. I was living the dream in college, but I just didn't maximize it. I never felt like I arrived. So just, you know, when I think about the entire life cycle, that's why it means so much to me and being chosen for a moment where I could be a part of the history of the greatest game ever.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be back in a minute.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. So in 2004, I know you that was just like a pivotal moment in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was off season or during season, but some off the field activities took
out
place.
Out here in the streets,
running the streets.
Yeah,
you got arrested.
Yeah,
I think you had some weed. I don't know if you were selling. You were still selling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got arrested, went to jail.
Yep.
Read the Bible, kind of started probably doing some thinking or, you know, something.
Man, it was a radical transformation. It was like arrested and find out I'm having a son one day. 2 weeks later, I'm in the back of a church and I'm never drinking again. I never smoke again. I'm married 3 months later.
Yeah.
Like what I'm telling you, it was night and day.
Yeah.
From who I was to what I became. And it was just, it was a moment of contrition where I knew the life that I was living by my own self. I didn't feel like I was good at life. Though I had arrived to all these exterior, like, you know, I'm at Syracuse, I'm at the NFL, but I'm sitting here, I'm like, I've been the captain of my own ship. Everybody's got a different experience growing up, but I'm the only boy in the crib. I had all the independence and liberty to make all my own decisions. And thank God I didn't hang myself with all that rope. But now I'm in jail. I'm like, man, you know, my cry was just very simple. God, all I know, if I need you, if you allow me to keep my job, I'd appreciate that too. Yeah. It was a very simple, sincere prayer. And next thing you know, I'm a new dude. Mm. And I was a slave to all of those, you know, we got our vices, you know, it is what it is. Everybody got their own vices, demons, whatever you want. And all the things that I couldn't control or I was subject to, I was now free to be the better man, player, husband. I wasn't married, but I was married 3 months later, and it was liberating. And so it was like night and day, and it changed my life.
The failure is feedback, though. Like, I think those times are necessary. Failure is feedback. Mm-hmm. I know when we fail, one of the biggest things I try to do is, like, all right, what did I do wrong? And then lean into that, and then you try to be better. So it kind of, what I'm hearing you say is it sounds like that was a necessary time for you
Absolutely. To
be the man that you are today.
Yeah.
And it's made you, it's helped you.
Man, mainly. You know, I think that we also got to be honest and say that we get to places where we can't even dig ourselves out, right? And so we talk about this place of help, right? My help came from God in this particular instance, but help often comes from others. God will use others. So whether it's our wives, our significant others, our families, whether it's a call to a hotline, there's moments where you can't, even in your own self-scout, help yourself, right? And I think that those are the moments of honesty and brokenness where we as men, players, immortal athletes, we eventually arrive to just to be honest with our own condition as humans. And so for me, that was just a transformative, like I was one person one day, I was a totally different person the next, and I was free to kind of like become maybe the man that I could have envisioned myself to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think when you have I have a child at 21 years old, I grew up in a divorce home. It was terrifying thinking about not being available for my son.
Right.
I mean, when his mother and I were together, it was, you know, so have that free from my conscience, you know? So it's just things like that where you're just 24 years old, got a new lot in life.
Yeah.
So tell me this, cause I'm hearing all these terms and this outlook on life.
Sure.
And number one is, you know, the best thing that happened to me when all of a sudden I was like, all right, I'm done, God, you got it.
Yeah.
Is that I stopped blaming myself, right?
Yeah.
Stop blaming myself for all the past, you know, transgressions, the mistakes I made, some of the decisions I was doing on a day-to-day basis. Like, I stopped blaming myself, let go, right? And so that is a freedom part that happens to you. And the other person thing that you said was how important it was that it's not just God, but how he uses other people to maybe influence you.
Sure.
And I think one person that's probably been a huge influence on you is your wife, Layla.
Yeah.
And could you talk about maybe how important she's been on this journey with you? Because like you said, she's been there since day one.
Yeah.
You guys started, you guys met at 19. Mm-hmm. You were had your first child by the age of 21.
Yeah.
You were, I heard, you know, I read another thing, you were probably not even that sober at the time.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
And so I'll let you tell that.
Yeah.
And so maybe give us a little just an insight on that journey and how important she's been with you throughout it all, because it seems like this is not something done by yourself.
Amazing. No, I mean, like, the only thing she wasn't, in as far as, like, she has been the most consistent, beautiful, you know, I think the two powerful words for me is believing and belonging. And she was one of the first people that just believed in me. Mm. Right. And that is life-giving, right? And I think we experienced that from coaches, parents, but it's very life-giving. Some people will just walk around, they don't have anybody believing in them, whether it's believing in their dream, believing in who they are as a person and what their potential is. And so even when we met freshman year, she was special. She was wife material, even though I was a dirt bag. But she believed in me and created that foundation of safety for me. So once we had a child together, you know, I was trying to be better and just didn't possess the ability at the time.
Right.
So to have the ability to be transformed, the only thing she wasn't was Christian. And I mean, most people think that she kind of like, hey, man, did your wife lead you? Like, that would be a good thought. But I actually, my transformation kind of led to a greater measure of peace for her. Came, you know, so she saw me radically changed in a way where it's like,
man, who are you?
Who are you? Like, so, you know, it was, you know, I'm sure it was first with caution because I've heard her.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal from the moment that I could be the man that I envisioned being was to be an avenue of healing for her too. And so that's what it's been 19 years of, you know, 19 years married, you know, together since 99, but 19 glorious years married, and she's the rock.
Oh, and you got 19 years married, bro.
Yeah.
All right, man, give me two things that help this, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it rock solid.
Yeah, all right. So the first thing, it's hard for me to stray away from the, I lean in on, so the people talk about the communication. The first thing for us is there's a no way out clause.
Okay.
Like, and this is this takes a lot of faith and a lot of love, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning like, she can't lose me. I said, listen, if you lost your mind, became a drunk old haggard and committed adultery against me, I said, you might be sleeping on the couch for the rest of the marriage, but you can't lose me. And now I'm secure enough in who I am. I'm secure enough in what marriage is to me. But that creates a measure of safety and commitment where there's always the possibility to see restore. If you understand your need for forgiveness, then you understand the need to extend it. So first, that's the first thing. And I think from there, it's just we're really, really transparent in the open lines of communication, whether it's feelings or needs or desires. And I think it's just creating a space where that can exist, right? Mm-hmm. And that exists at different levels, but you want it to exist in a healthy marriage. So, but we always on one accord. So, you know, like I said, we've been down since day one.
Yeah.
And that's the true statement.
I like it. Because you set the guidelines early.
Yeah, no way out.
We ain't out.
Hey, listen, where you going?
Sign right here.
Hey, where you going?
Right, we set the barriers right here.
I like that.
And then in between those lines, let's communicate.
That's it.
All right, let's make it happen. All right, Peanut.
So no way out, but y'all got seven kids, right? I got four.
Yeah, that is also,
you got four.
That's also another no way out clause.
Yeah, that's another no way out.
We tired out here in the streets, baby.
Yeah. Was that on purpose? You had seven on purpose?
You know what it was? Yeah, I guess so. I guess not getting to the doctor fast enough.
I was like, I mean, it's ways around.
Yeah, the funny thing,
you know,
I found out a little late.
I got four, and I remember you used to look at me like, it's like, man, you got four kids.
I thought you were crazy.
He thought I was crazy.
I did.
He got four kids.
Yeah. I do have four kids.
Okay.
Kobe got your boy, dog.
Yeah.
Kobe got your boy.
A little extra time on your hands.
You know what I mean? Baby was out of diapers, you know what I'm saying? Catch his lip. We in the streets.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We out here.
I stopped at four.
Hey,
listen, I completely understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I stopped at four.
Listen, no, it was, you know what? It was messing around. You know what the funny thing is? It was messing around with Sean. Sean Alexander was one of the players that I probably clicked with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'll tell you, it's weird now that as you mature, it's weird being the holy dude in the locker room, right? When I say like, and I think I was always sincere, mm-hmm. but there's a weird phase of being a devoted believer, right? There's like, well, I'm not at the strip club with the homies. I want to kick it. I want to kick it.
Conversations may change
right?
around.
Conversations
yeah.
is changing.
Yeah, for sure. That and is a real deal.
It's a very normal thing, but it's also like when you, because there's Christians and then there's like really, really, really devoted Christians, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and it, even without the judgment clause, you're just trying to find your lane.
Yeah.
And in that environment, it's a weird transition. So,
right.
Yeah, just kind of getting back on task is really like, man, though Sean Alexander was one of the people that I really connected with, where we was just easily speaking the same language. And I think it was, and I kind of blame him for having seven kids, man.
He got a lot too.
He kept going. I'm like, his wife said something that inspired my wife. I'm just like, so we just going back in? I'm like, well, let's go then, you know? No, so, and then I got to six and we got tired. I was like, all right, well, maybe we should reconsider, you know, this just open, you know, open season situation. But God got one more out of me and it's been beautiful. Four boys, yeah. three girls, 21 yeah. down to 10. And we still grinding in these parental streets.
Yeah, well, yeah. Awesome. We all are. Your youngest is what, three?
Three.
Soul three?
Yeah,
Soul three.
He's funny.
He is. He's a funny kid, bro. I mean,
he's yeah.
COVID kid, man. COVID baby.
Listen.
He's a pack baby. And then look, when you're the youngest of four, you just grow up different. We don't have time to really raise you.
Listen.
You got to just come on.
All right? Facts.
Yeah.
All facts.
You just got to come on.
The youngest is a tough one.
Yeah, tough.
Listen.
They're the
smart.
Toughest one. Yeah.
They know everything. They figure
they know
it out.
Every listen.
Everything.
Yeah, my
young. They used to being around different conversations from the older ones.
Listen, man. And that's exactly it. I got my youngest is 10, but she the boss, baby. It's like she got it the easiest, but like our parenting is pretty swift. You know, like it's not really, they can't really wiggle in and out. It ain't much leeway, but we definitely tired on these discipline streets. You know, like we've been disciplined for a long time.
You let stuff go.
Yeah.
With like, the fourth one, you just like,
I'm tired.
I'm good. Like, just, do your older ones be like,
yeah.
You never would have let me do that.
My boys,
why you let them do that?
They like that. You're
slipping.
Yeah. Like, my oldest is 21 to 18. So I got men in my house now. Actually, my oldest is in the Air Force. So it's bugged out where they looking at us like, man, y'all slipping up. But at
get
the same
that all the time.
Yeah, I think, you know, they get there's some non-negotiables when it comes to discipline, if you want to call it that. But you know, and it's really just care, right? I use the word discipline because discipline isn't always spanking and things of that nature. It's just giving them the right correction. But it's a lot of love, too. I think we've grown as parents to understand the ebbs and flow and what's necessary.
Yeah. You don't have to, like, be all up on that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really cool. And then another thing I think is really cool is that you and your wife also are in some business ventures together.
Yeah.
So handling that part of it as well. You have the Clean Catch or Healthy Catch.
Yeah.
It's a juice bar that you guys are invested in and that you do, and also Catch the Moment podcast, the one that I was listening to you earlier about.
Yeah.
And kind of reference. So maybe how do you guys navigate that as well? The marriage, the pod, like the businesses. I think I love the fact that you're both all in.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't going nowhere. Like, we really ain't going nowhere.
We all we got.
We tied to it.
We tied. We've done life together. I think my truest passion, I invested a lot of time into my spiritual growth throughout my plant. So my transition was solid because I was firm in my identity. Mm-hmm. And we talk about these second act experience. Everybody has this bridge of who am I and what am I good at? I think the what am I good at part was challenging, but I was firm in who I was. So, you know, I found my way back into player development, player engagement, and I was there up until 2020. And now it was just time to kind of stand on my own once that phase and that season of service was done. And I felt like the helmet catch, our life, our experience, my aptitude for some, you know, just for the transition leadership development space was enough to stand on its own at this place. So yeah, it started, you know, with the juice concept, because, you know, I think we want to eat healthy, we want to provide opportunities for our family as well as our community. And so we're still in it with that. But you talk about brick and mortar is out here. It'll take your soul. Retail will take your soul, okay? I was in there cold pressing juices, dog, for you in the middle of COVID. I'm like, this ain't right. I was just in the front office with the home.
Right.
This ain't right. Nah, I mean, like, but you do that it returns you to your roots.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
do
yeah.
what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. You know, freedom is earned. You know, it's not given.
Great point. I like that.
You
great
know,
point.
It's and I think that's where we're at. You know, nothing's been given. I've had some great successes and wins and victories, but the perception, right, is far outweighed to what reality presents. And I think we've done things the hard way. We've made hard decisions, 15 years of homeschooling. You know, there's a lot easier ways to do some of the things, but we did what we felt was most valuable. Yeah.
So we've always asked this question to a lot of our guests on the show, you know, so Mount Rushmore, name four individuals that have played a pivotal role in your life.
Now, just individuals, just in my own life.
Yeah, in your own life.
I mean, it's your.
Mount Rushmore. I'm going to go, you know, my mother was the foundation in relation to, you know, just even sports. We shared the love of sports. My father actually ended up becoming my hero.
Was your mom into sports? Did she play?
Yeah, she wasn't an athlete. I didn't know her, but she was a sports mom.
Yeah.
So okay, it was really cool. Like we would watch play, you know, MLB playoffs. We watch Wimbledon. We watching sports together. You know, my father ended up really like I grew up in a divorce home, so he was always present, but he just wasn't in the home.
Yeah.
And he became my hero, and even more so, this was a year, when we kind of came into the business. My dad still works for our business. He still loves to be active and working. And just growing to know my father as a man, he really became my hero.
Yeah.
I started to see more of the similarities. So like mom and dad up there, Will Hicks was my strength coach, and he was, you know, there's nothing sexy about my wide receiver profile. I was just a competitor. At the end of the day, like what positioned me for opportunities was my ability to you know, my intellect for the game, and that allowed me to play faster and process the game well. But he was the first person that really was an advocate for me at the college level, so I'd have to put him on there. And I can't leave my wife out. You know, she's just like that. I mean, like it's a one. We are literally one. So I know most people, hopefully most people in their healthy marriages, you start getting the compliments like y'all look alike, y'all talk, y'all saying the same things at the same time. And that's when marriage really becomes beautiful, when people start to see the rewards of what it can be. And I feel like I've continued to experience that with her. So just off the top, without crazy thought, those are the people in my life that have really secured and solidified me.
Yeah. Hey, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming out, man.
Appreciate that, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My boy on the bench is Brian Echeverry. He's discipled me for 12 years. So I had to pull him up into the rotation just by virtue of, pull him off the bench.
That's the first one we got, though. I like pull him off the bench. I like that. But hey, man, that's a wrap. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Appreciate it, man.
Giving your story. Getting it out there.
We're here for it, man.
Hey, man, you're one of the legends, man. You'll always be remembered for, I guess, the top play in Super Bowl history.
What are we guessing?
Not Super Bowl history. It's one of the greatest plays in the history of the NFL, like the history of the game.
Yeah.
100 plus years. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm just starting to get used to talking talk your ish.
Yeah. Hey, talk it. You've earned it.
It's fun. You've earned it. And I've always, it's great to be in the conversation, period. Right?
Yeah. Correct.
But it is fun to listen to some of the arguments from the side. I'm like, nah, man, I got too many factors in this moment.
Yeah.
For it not to be the best in Super Bowl history, hands down. But I do believe it's so many factors.
Mm-hmm.
Undefeated Patriots.
Yeah.
Who the characters are involved.
Yes.
It was just so many amazing factors. The play itself. Eli makes a play. I make a play. So, yeah, man, like, you know, we got to close up the arguments. Nah, it's all good. I appreciate y'all having me, crew.
Hey, that's what's up. American sports, we love an underdog, baby.
I love it. I'm Peanut. That's Roman. That's David.
And that was my phone.
That's the NFL Player Second X podcast. And we out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.